This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a series entitled Breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. My objective today is to build you in faith so you apply God's word and experience breakthrough in your life. That is the bottom line. We believe that, listen, we've been fasting the past couple weeks. I've been giving you the word of God on it. A lot of us have sown our breakthrough seeds, and we believe that breakthrough is here. We believe we are walking in it. Some of us have seen manifested victory, and for the others, it's just a matter of time until we see the manifested victory of breakthrough in our lives. Now, I'm going to give you my definition for breakthrough, and it is from a spiritual perspective, and you won't find this in the Webster Dictionary. You will find this only in James McIver's dictionary. Here we go. It is a shift that takes place in your life where heaven gets involved, and that's what we want, saints. We want heaven to get involved in our situations as a result of your faith and obedience to God's word. Everybody say, obey God. Obeying God is critical in our lives. To the degree I obey God and apply this word in my life, I will get results, all right? It is the manifestation of God's power at work in your life that gives you manifested victory. Pastor, what do you mean by manifested victory? At some point, my faith has to turn into manifestation. The things that I'm believing for have to become the things that I don't have to believe for anymore because they manifested in my life, right? And so it is the manifested victory, watch this, over obstacles, strongholds, and battles that have tried to wear you out or make you give up. So you have to understand that breakthrough is God's ability to unleash his power in impossible situations. So Jesus says, with men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so you have to understand the importance of that. So now what I want to do is I want to give you a subtopic, and we're going to jump right into this. So my subtopic, of course, my series is Breakthrough. My subtopic for today is it's working. Everybody say it's working. It's working. That's what I want you to confess all week long. Breakthrough is here and it's working. I don't care if things look bad. I don't care if you get a bad phone call. I don't care if you get bad news. Don't be moved by any of those things. Hold fast to your faith and keep declaring the word of God that breakthrough is here and that it's working. You do know that when things are at their worst, God's still at his best, right? Like God has not changed. He's still on the throne, right? He doesn't plan on getting off. Jesus is still on the right hand of the throne of the Father, interceding for me and for you. So even when things get tough in our lives, even when things go haywire in our lives, even though things may have taken us by surprise, they have not taken God by surprise. So God already knows what he's going to do in our life and in our situation. Everybody say, it's working. 1 John 5:4, very familiar passage of scripture, teaches us that for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it is my faith that's going to cause me to overcome. It is my faith that's going to cause me to win. It is my faith that's going to cause me to triumph in life. Okay, Jen, the lady told me I need to do better when I get mine. So she said, I don't need to act so surprised. I need to act normal. So I'm going to act normal. Did I do it right, baby? So because, you know, I was doing like, and she's like, babe, we can't use any of those. So I'm just trying to be a good husband, do what my wife tells me to do. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Help me, class, even our it is our faith that's going to cause us to overcome. You have to know that you have been designed by God through faith to overcome every challenge in your life. You are not the victim. You are the victor. You are not defeated, but you have the victory. You are not alone, but you have a friend. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to make sure that you understand that. And you can win with the hand that you've been dealt. For the past several weeks, when I've been able to just minister to the team, I've been giving them 1 Corinthians 10:13. And we're going to go there. And I was explaining to them that David, that you can win with the hand you've been dealt. Sometimes I'd like to say you can win with the rock that you've got. What do you mean by that? David fought a giant named Goliath who had all this weaponry and all these shields and all this kind of stuff, and he had been doing it a while. David had not ever fought in a battle, right? And he picks up 5 smooth stones and only needs 1 to knock out the giant. You understand what I'm saying? So it shows me that no matter what the situation is, I can win with the hand that I've been dealt. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 in the Message translation. Let's put it on the screen. There it is. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. This scripture is showing me that other people have went through and they've gotten through it. That's good news, because it shows that you can go through and you can get through whatever it is that you've got going on in your life. I love this next part. This is absolutely one of my favorite scriptures, and I need you to help me. He says, all you need to remember is that what, class? God will never let you down. Say it again. God will never let you. Now, instead of you, I want you to say, God will never let me down. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. God will never let. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. So if you're going through it, you can handle it. Well, Pastor, I don't want to handle it. But if you're going through it, you can handle it. Pastor, I don't feel like handling it. But if you are going through it, you can handle it. He'll always be there. And that's what I love. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He'll always be there to help you to come through it. So how many in the room ever been through a tough time in their life? Has God ever brought you through? All right. Anybody ever been through some painful situation in your life? Has God brought you through those? Okay, so the same God that brought you through those is the same God that'll bring you through whatever you're going through right now. You got it? Ty Trippett said, if he did it before, he'll do it again. Same God right now, same God back. So you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. Even the devil knows it's working. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is why he launches an all-out attack on you. And let me just help you. When the enemy starts attacking you, it doesn't necessarily mean you're doing something wrong. Have you ever considered maybe you're doing something right and the devil knows you're getting close? You're getting close to victory. You're getting close to your manifestation. You're getting close to the promises of God in your life. And so he launches an all-out attack, watch, to make you stop moving forward in faith and start backing up in faith, thinking that it's not working. But I'm here to tell you, even when things are at their worst, God is always at his best. He's always at his best. And so the enemy knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. And that's why the writer says we can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. If you notice, you know, we had a lot of stuff going on. Last week we show up after church and graffiti is all over the church and Mac's place and all kind of cuss words and inappropriate things. And so, you know, the staff texts me and those kind of things. They get here about, I get here about 8. They get here about 7:30. You got it? And now I won't say anything about that. I was about saying some of y'all get here at 9:15. But no, I'm just playing. Not really, but praise the Lord. Amen. We glad you're here. But work on being here 2 minutes ahead of time. Anyways, and so they send me one, and I'm like, oh, okay, we can fix that. Then they send another one and another one. And I'm like, man, these jokers tagged the building like 12 times and those kind of things. And the thing that came out immediately was, I'm not moved. I'm not moved. I'm not going to let the enemy. Because see, what happens is when things come up in your life, the enemy wants to just take your focus. It's just a distraction. You got it? Because he has no power in your life. He cannot win, so it's just a distraction. So you can't be moved. He knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. Now, I'm not big on talking much about the devil. Y'all know that. Why? Because he has no power in our lives. But I do like to expose his plans and his schemes, so that way we're not ignorant concerning his devices. See, you got to understand, like, just like God has a plan for your life, the enemy has a plan for your life. Now, it's not going to prevail because we belong to Jesus. We're children of the King, right? But he does have his own plan. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is he wants to cause discouragement in your life. He wants you to be discouraged, because when you're discouraged, you put your head down. When you're discouraged, if you're not careful, you'll start talking doubt and unbelief. You'll lose your focus. That is why Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Or I like to say, if you just don't quit. So I like to say, if you stay in the fight, what's going to happen? You're going to win. If you keep swinging, you're going to hit something. And so you can't be weary in well-doing. Something else that the enemy wants to do is launch an all-out attack on your life so you can scale back your expectations. So what happens is he wants something to happen to make you stop believing. He wants you to get out of faith over into fear. He wants you to get out of expectation and believing for God's best to just settle. He wants you to be intimidated. He wants something to happen so you can feel like there's going to be some shame on your life or there's going to be some embarrassment on your life. Man, you better get rid of all that. You understand? Everybody has gone through something. You understand? And so don't you allow the intimidation factor from the enemy to try to get on you and scale back your expectations. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what they did to you. You stay in faith. You got it? You keep confessing the word. You keep standing on the word. You keep loving people. You keep doing the right things. And the writer says, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we exert too much of our energy trying to clap back and trying to do this and try. No, no, no. Don't do all that. If you really believe God is as powerful as you say he is, if you really believe he's a supernatural God, there are times you can just stand still. And if he don't give me any instructions, I'm going to stand still and I'm going to see God move on my behalf. Because angels are on assignment to readily bring forth the will of God to your life. You got it? So you got to understand that angels are real. You got to understand that there are things that are happening in the spirit realm because you prayed and because you put your faith out there, and it's just a matter of time till it's going to show up in your life. Everybody say it's working. Yeah, and so you can't do that. Well, another thing what the enemy wants to do is he wants you to give up. His purpose is to cause you to give up your righteous pursuit. You know, church ain't working. Living for God ain't working. You know, that's a lie. It is working. You got it? And don't be fooled, you know, by the enemy's schemes. Amen? It's working, all right? Now, from the beginning, God designed for you to live a good life. I've always said this from the beginning of our ministry. I've taught this when we first started on Pollock Street years ago, 16 years ago. I would teach on living a better life and the good life, because that is the vision of our church, pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. The Lord told me if I would teach the word in a simplistic manner, you got it, where people could understand it and immediately apply it in their lives, he would send people from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And here's the key. He says, and if they apply the word, they will live a better life. You got it? And so people would always ask me, where do you get that from? Why do you name your church Without Limits? That's such a funny name. No, it's the name God gave us, because he's the God of no limits. He can do absolutely anything but fail. All things are possible to him that believe. You understand? So we come to Without Limits. We serve a God of no limits. You understand? And watch this. Anything is possible in our lives. Does that make sense? Ephesians 2 and 10 in the Amplified, watch what it says. For we are God's own handiwork. We are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works. So it's the order of God that we do good works. Why? Because God predestined and planned beforehand for us to do that, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. So it's the order of God that we do good, that we make a difference, that we impact people's lives in an amazing way. And then watch what he says. He says, live in the... Let's try it again. Live in the... That's in the Bible. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God wants you to live a good life. He wants you to live a life of no stress, no strain, and no struggle. Everybody say no stress, no stress, no strain, no strain, no struggle. So when the enemy shows up, sometimes you got to open your mouth. No stress, no strain, no struggle. You get a call that you don't want, no stress, no strain, no struggle. You got it? You have to learn the importance of confessing the word of God. Why do we always question the devil and question all kind of crazy things? Why not forget about all those things and just start confessing the word of God? I promise you, if you'll forget all those, I don't understand that. Everything ain't for us to understand, the writer tells us. But if we will just confess the word of God concerning our situation, it'll begin to change our lives. That's a good place to clap, because young brother's teaching up in here. All right, look at your neighbor and say, that young man is teaching up in here, whether you know or not. Now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're second choice, but tell him that young man is teaching up in here. He's teaching up in here. All right. So from the beginning, God has had you on his mind. And God is not too busy running the universe that he's not concerned about the intricate details of your life. God is concerned about you. Did you hear what I said? I'm not right now, and I don't even believe in being selfish, but just for a moment, be selfish, all right? And we're going to stop being selfish after a millisecond, right? But God is concerned about you. He's concerned about the things that concern you. He's concerned about the things that you won't talk to anybody else about. He's concerned about the things that keep you up at night. You got it? And not only is he concerned about you, you got it, but he's got things in motion to help get you from where you are to where you need to be. And that's why you have to give him your faith. That's why you have to give him your trust and your assurance and your reliance in him and in his word, because the Bible says that God can do absolutely anything but fail. Jeremiah 29 and 11, very familiar passage of scripture. In the KJV, he says, and y'all can keep that up there. In the KJV, he says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. When we get to the NLT, he says, I know the plans I have for you. I like them both. So number one, KJV, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Number one, watch this, God is thinking about you. Number two, what God thinks about you matters most. Why do you always worry about what everybody thinks about you? What God thinks about you matters most. And then when we go to the NLT, he says, I know the plans I have for you. So God has got you on his mind, and he's got some plans for you, says the Lord. You understand? You got it? They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. So God's got good plans for your life. And listen, and all he needs is our faith. How many know we can't be talking doubt and unbelief? How many know we can't be fussing and cussing folk out all the time and fighting with folks and feel like it's going to work in our lives? You got it? You know, I know some of y'all don't like to hear me say that, but I'm your pastor. I got to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Sometimes the reason we get deeper in a situation is because we get deeper in a situation. Does that make sense? And the confusion a lot of times, especially when we have gone through something tough in our lives or a traumatic situation or something that took us by surprise, is we see ourselves as what we went through, not understanding that you can go through it and not be it. Does that make sense? So I can go through a tough situation in my life, but it doesn't define who I am. You got it? It doesn't matter. You know, you're a career person. You've done really good, and all of a sudden they let you go. And if you're not careful, watch this, they let you go, and you will allow shame to get on you, watch this, because you thought you lost value. Because you thought your value was in the career and the position you had, and your value was never in that. Your value was in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? See, you got to understand that you are who you are, not because of a career. And I'm not knocking careers. Thank God for good careers. Thank God for when he blesses you and gets a house, nice car. You know I'm all about that, right? But you are not who you are because of a career you have, a house you live in, a car you drive, clothes you have on your back. You are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. And that's where you get your value. You get your value because you are a king's kid. You get your value because you are a child of the Most High God, who has been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. His favor surrounds you as a shield, and God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. Hello, somebody. You're not too short, you're not too tall. Forget about all that. You are exactly the way God knew you would be right now. And God loves you just the way you are right now. I wish somebody would get excited and understand the value you have. And don't take this the wrong way, because I'm the first person who I want you to run. When you, a lot of times, remember, Pastor, I got a new car. What do? I go get in the car. I look at it. Hello, somebody. You tell me something good happens, because good things are supposed to happen for you. But can I just be real honest with you? At the end of the day, when it comes to you and me, I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care where you live. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. I really don't care about any of those things. I care about you. I care about you having joy. What about you having peace? Come on, somebody. About your life being better. At the end of the day, that's all I care about. And don't take that the wrong way. You got to know how to separate that. So don't say, well, I can't go tell Pastor about something good. Yeah, come tell me, but watch this. But when I, so what happens is, when you're rejoicing, the Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. So I get in the car. Hello, somebody. I'm excited. Watch this. But you didn't get any more value, because the value you had was the value, watch this, that God sent his only son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate price for you. So it doesn't matter. You can be blinged out. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't got no more value. Does that make sense? All right. So you have to get that. And you have to learn to see yourself the way God sees you. You know, sometimes people say, you know, well, you know, I'm the baby of the family. My mom and daddy wasn't planning for on me, right? Well. Lady said, that's my case. You got it. You know, watch this. Even though mom and daddy might not have been planning for her, God was. So I just use lady. So she is not the product of her parents' passion. She's the product of the purposes of God. God knew she would be here, and look at what God is doing in her life. Does that make sense? And the same God, watch this, that looked at her and said, that's my daughter, you got it, is the same God that looks at you and says, that's my daughter or that's my son, and makes it up and makes a commitment that no matter what you go through in life, that he's never going to leave you, that he's never going to forsake you, that he's always going to be there. He said, I'm going to be with you for the good, the bad, and the ugly. He said, when you're on the right road, I'm going to be there. And if you bump your head and get on the wrong road, I'm still going to be there. And if you don't come to church for a month or two, I'm still going to be there. Because I'm not going to change my mind about you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to break your heart. I'm not going to walk away. Others will walk away, but God said, I won't walk away. Others will break your heart. I won't break your heart. Others will talk down about you, but I'll never talk down about you because you are my son, you're my daughter, you are my prized possession, and it'll never change. And that is the way God feels about you. Does that make sense? And so you got to get it. You got to get it. Colossians 2 and 9 and 10. I love this scripture. Verse 9 of chapter 2 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I could get real theological about this and really break it down. I only have 7 minutes left, and I got 3 more points I got to give you, right? So I just break it down, what that scripture really means in verse 9 is he be the man. That's really what that means, right? Verse 10, let me give you these next six words. And ye are complete in him. And you are complete in him. Not when this happens in your life, you'll be complete, or not when that happens in your life. Right now, you are complete in him. So anything else that happens good, and good things are going to continue to happen in your life, it's just gravy. But right now, you are already complete in him. So you got to start seeing yourself the way God does, and you have to get the revelation that you are complete in him. I want to give you 3 things before I let you go. Have y'all been getting anything out of this lesson today? All right, I want to give you 3 things before I go, and before we go eat some Nutty Buddies and some chocolate eclairs, amen? All right, 3 things you must have for breakthrough. 3 things you must have if you're going to win in life. 3 things that you must have if it's going to work in life, and I'm telling you, it's working. All right. And that's why I need you to start confessing that this week, because we have what we say. So, but Pastor, I don't see it. I don't care what you can't see. Just confess it. When the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, it was dark and it was void. He didn't see light. He did not allow what he saw to determine what he said. He said, let there be light. And what happened? Light showed up. So what happened is, if we're not careful in life, well, Pastor, I don't see it working, so you don't say it. Do you not understand? Sometimes you got to open your mouth and create it with the words of your mouth, and then it'll come to pass in your life. Does that make sense? All right. 3 things you need. Number 1, a God conscious. A God conscious. What is that, Pastor? It is having a constant realization that God is with me. You got it? That he is with you morning, noon, and night. That he's with you through hail or high water. That he's with you through the fire. You got it? You're not going to get burned. He's with you through the flood, and you're not going to drown. You got it? You got it? That he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's always going to be with you. So that's, now, y'all know me. I'm matter of fact, I'm just going to make you repeat it, because you need to do it this week anyways, and I hope you do it more than just today at church. Repeat 2 things after me. Number 1, I want you to say, God is with me, and God is greater. Second thing I want you to say is, God is with me, I cannot fail. You need to say those 2 things this week a lot of times. You also need to say it's working. And then you also need to declare that breakthrough is here in your life. Amen. You got it. You have to say something if you're going to see something. God said something, and then he saw something. Right? So you have to have a God conscious. All right. Number two, you have to have a God closeness. You have to have a God closeness. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Never live your life where Jesus is not within reach. Never live your life when Jesus is not within reach. You know, y'all know the story about Peter, how he gets out the boat. He says, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come on. And Peter gets on. He's starting to walk. You know, he's walking to Jesus. All of a sudden, the wind becomes real contrary and boisterous. And the mistake Peter made was he took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at the wind. And the Bible says, beginning to sink. You got it? And I've heard that preached a lot of times. And I'm no way knocking preachers or anything. But I'm just saying, a lot of times when I hear that preached, I always hear it priest knocking Peter. He didn't have no faith. And yes, I know Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. And though I get it. You got it. But did you ever stop to look at the text and think, wait a minute, at least Peter was close enough to Jesus that even when he was starting to drown, Jesus was right there to lift him up. Did you ever think about that way? Never live your life where Jesus is not within reach. Peter was walking on water, and he may have messed up and took his eyes off Jesus, but at least, watch this, at least Jesus, he had the relationship with Jesus where Jesus was within reach, where he could help him where he needed to be. I like to say, as long as Jesus is on the boat, you cannot lose. You cannot drown. You cannot sink. You got it. And so, you know, if you stay close enough to Jesus, he won't let you drown. All right, so you need a God conscious, a God closeness. Let's go home. And the last thing you need, number three, a God commitment. A God commitment. And now let me help you. When it comes to number three, this is all on you. This was not on God at all. Because you have to make up your mind. You got it? See, this God commitment is a mindset that God must be in the equation of every decision that I make. That God's got to be, that I'm not going to make a move without God. I'm not going to make a decision without God. Too many times we make big decisions and we don't go to God about it. We just make the decision. And so you have to make it up in your mind that God is going to be in every equation of my life, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how tough it is. You know, you're in a basket. That's it. I'm gone. I'm leaving. Just whatever it is. Leave a job. Leave a relationship. And then boom, 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 you're just gone. To think 3, 6 months, 9 months down the road, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And sometimes we do that because we don't keep God in the equation. Sometimes we do it out of our emotions. You got it? And I'm not knocking you. I'm just trying to teach you. You got it? The whole thing about revelation is that when we know better, we do better. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so you have to make sure that God is in there. Now, if you're about to make a move and you consult with God and he's giving you the green light, well, then fine. My whole thing is just make sure that you consult with God and that you don't do things on your own. Because after all, he's the one that's running the ship. He's the pilot. You're the co-pilot. And so make it up in your mind that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I'm always going to consult God. Pastor, how do I know? How do I know when I'm believing for something, if I should make a move? Peace is my green light. So if I have a peace, now I'm married, you got it? So peace, you got it, and Kante, you understand what I'm saying? She's lady to you, but I need to make sure, number one, we're in agreement. So I'm going to pray, talk to God, I'm going to talk to LaKante. You understand what I'm saying? I might go talk to God a little bit more, and I'm going to come talk to LaKante. If LaKante and God are with it, then I'm with it. You got it? You got it? Well, what if LaKante's not with it, but God's with it? I'm going to wait. But ain't you a man of God? Yeah, but I'm married, and the Bible teaches me how to handle those things. So if I really believe it's God, then I go to God and say, okay, well, Lord, now I need you to give her a witness. You got it? And so, but while I'm waiting, I'm not waiting. I don't know. She can't even hear from God. I thought she was a woman of God up on that stage doing all that singing, leading folk, can't even hear from God. No, that's a hypocrite, right? Yeah. But if I just stay in faith, watch this. And then we move on like nothing's happened. We just act like everything's normal. I'm not going to walk around with an attitude. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then 3 weeks later, she said, you know, babe, I was thinking about what you said. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea. And I'm not going to be like, see? You done held up the Lord 3 weeks. Because that's what we do when we're in our emotions. Am I right about it? I'm trying to help somebody's marriage right now. You didn't know you was coming to marriage counseling this morning. No, oh my gosh, I know it's zero and I got to go out of time, but I can hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. It's 12:13, I got 2 minutes. A lot of times, especially in relationships, watch this, we'll let our emotions get the best of us. And then we end up making bad decisions, watch this, based on our emotions, instead of just stopping and waiting on God. I don't want to wait because I'm mad. And when I'm mad, I want to move, I want to do something. Just wait on God. No, I don't want to wait because he ain't said yes or she ain't said yes. Just wait on God. Just wait on God. And while you're waiting, be your normal self. Don't get the attitude. Don't fight. Don't fight. Like Lady and I know people don't believe it. We do not fight. Ah, they lying. If we could just pull. No, I'm just ask my kids. Right? My kids been. The kids tell the truth. If nobody tell the truth, kids tell the truth. You got it? You know, like here's the thing, right? We don't fight, so it's to the degree that if Lady and I are talking about something, I mean, not fighting at all, it could be whatever. Like, I'll be like, I ain't did that. She's like, I know you did that, but we're not fighting, just me and her, you know, because we're both passionate people. You know, Hannah will be like, is everything okay? I'm like, baby, ain't nobody fighting. You know, Lady talk loud. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Her whole family talk loud. You understand? And then, thank you, sis. And so, look, because I've been married for her so long, I now talk loud. So we'll be up and just talking, and Hannah be like, is everything okay? Yeah, girl, everything's fine. Everything's okay. You got it? But watch this. If we do have a disagreement, and yes, of course we have disagreements. I said we don't fight. I didn't say we don't have disagreements. You got it. You know, sometimes it takes her a while to realize that I'm always right. No, I'm just playing. I'm just joking. It was just a joke, right? But what we would rather do is just get quiet and not say anything for the moment. You got it? Watch this, because there's sometimes, now I'm not talking about not talking for 2-3 days, but in the moment, sometimes the best time to be quiet or the best reason to be quiet is so that way Holy Spirit can talk to you. Does that make sense? You got it? The other day, she did something I didn't like it, and she ain't did nothing wrong, and so I got quiet. But here's the problem with getting quiet. You really hear Holy Spirit loud and clear. And he's like, now you know this, and I was like, I know. And so, you know, so I apologize. You got it. I did what I was, didn't I apologize? You know, and I didn't do nothing bad. Did I do anything bad? Y'all would think it was minimal. Y'all would think it was extreme. Y'all be like, oh, Pastor, what you talking about? But no, my heart is so right that I want it to be so pure. You got it? That listen, if I'm really going to be the man of the house, forget being a pastor. If I'm just going to be the man of my house and lead the house, you got it, I have to have integrity and do it the right way. Does that make sense? So sometimes just slow down and let the emotions just go away and let all the passion go away and slow down and hear from God, and you'll be amazed at how he will give you the best wisdom and the best direction for your life that'll put you in the best place. Pastor, what if I'm willing to do that, but my spouse is not? Love them anyways. Love them through it. I'm going to make them. A person forced against their will is of the same opinion still. You can't make nobody do nothing. Lady didn't even try to make me. Lady didn't even try. See, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, she ain't like that. No, and I say she's loud. She don't fight. Lady don't fight. You got it. But she didn't try. So you know. So she was quiet because she knew he know how to hear from God. That joker would come apologize after a while. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I don't know who that was for, but I do know that was for somebody. And I believe that if you'll just heed what I talk to you about, you know, not even just these last few minutes, but through this lesson, that you would just say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today through this message that God will speak to you? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and believers are praying all over the building. It's still early. We're going to be out in just a few minutes. And so I know I have a few leaders that have to move, but if everyone else could just stay seated and most importantly, pray. Why? Because there's somebody in this room or online who wants to give their life to Jesus. Or maybe they don't know it yet, but the Holy Spirit is starting to knock on the door of their heart. And so our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and believers are praying all over the building. Maybe you're in the room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing to ever happen to me, and I know he'll be the best thing to ever happen to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10:9 that if we'll just confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins and confess him as the Lord of your life. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ is a new creature. Now, that word man in the Greek is not gender specific. You got it? Even when the Bible says we are the sons of God, that's not gender specific. You got it? So every man or woman, as the case may be, that comes to Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you so very much. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online, and, you know, you made some mistakes, you know, and you just need to ask God to forgive you. Well, that, listen, it's as simple as that. All you got to do is just confess your sins. 1 John 1:9, and he's faithful and just to forgive you all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. If you're interested in joining this amazing church, it's real easy. I talked about that connection card earlier. And if you're going to get saved today, I'd ask you to please fill out that connection card. If you're going to rededicate your life to the Lord, I'd ask you to please fill out that connection card. Or if you want to join this amazing church, I ask you just to please fill out the connection card. If you're a first-time friend, just take it to the first-time friend's tent. If you're not a first-time friend and you need to fill one out, just fill it out. And then on the way out, ushers will be holding an offering bucket. You can drop it in there. You can give it to the first-time friends, people. You can give it to guest services. Just make sure you get it to somebody. If you'd like to use the QR code, they'll have that on the screen as well, and you can do it that way. But this is what I want to do right now. I want to seal the deal for those that say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Or I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Or I'm a Christian that needs to repent. So when you're praying, Pastor, I need you to include me in the prayer. I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to ask everyone under the sound of my voice to repeat this prayer after me. Because after all, it'll help all of us as we pray this prayer. So repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. Oh, holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, I thank you for what you've done. And I hear the Lord saying, you know, what he was giving me to talk a little bit about marriage and those kind of things and making decisions. By the Spirit of God, I don't know if you're in the room or online, but there's some of us that were about to make just an abrupt decision. And what I would ask you to do is just hold off and talk to Jesus. Give it a little time. Maybe if you fasted and you didn't feel like you heard, maybe this time fast for, you know, 3, 4, or 5 days, but on purpose for this specific situation, and don't move ahead of God. Let his voice be the loudest voice in your life to make sure you're not about to make a decision that could really mess up your life. Just know that God was speaking to you today, not to harm you, but to help you. Not because he's upset with you, but because he loves you. And he has a bright future, but it's only to the degree that you will submit your will to his will and your way to his way. So make it up in your mind that from this point forward, no longer my will, but God's will in my life. And I believe that God is going to start talking to you to help you get from where you are to where you need to be. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.